So we're here on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, and it's about 15 lines up from the bottom of the page. This is where I think we were up to. Now we're going to start with Amar Av Gidol Amar Rav. Now, with your rishus, I would like to give a 5-minute review of what we know, and that will serve as an introduction to this Gemara. Here on Daf Kuf Beis, and even back on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yehuda, in this case, is supported, you'll see this on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, by Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Lozer, depends on the Girsa. And the machlokes is about the following issue. Does Eiver Ben Achai apply to a non-kosher animal? The Chachamim deny it. They limit Eiver Ben Achai to a kosher animal, whereas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lozer expand the scope of Eiver Ben Achai to include even a non-kosher animal. And it all depends on how to understand the pasuk, which is the source for the Iser Eiver Ben Achai, because that pasuk contains two different Isurim in it. And whenever the Torah combines two different Isurim, there's some logical reason for that hekesh, for that equation. The Torah combines the Isur of Dam together with the Isur of Eivrim and Achai, and the Pasuk says, Rak chazak levilti achol Adam ki Adam hu ha-nefesh. So that according to one opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lozar, since the Torah combines Dam and Eivrim and Achai in one prohibition, in one pasuk, the Torah is trying to teach us that we should make an analogy. Just like the Isur Dam applies, whether it's a kosher animal or even to a non-kosher animal, so to the Isur Eivrim and Achai applies to a non-kosher animal. The Rabbanon have a different principle. The Rabbanon understand that the reason why, in the case of Eivrim and Achai, you're not allowed to eat the Eivrim and Achai is because the animal is alive. Had the animal been shechted properly, you could eat the same limb of the animal. Just the question is, did you take the limb before Shechita, or you took the limb after Shechita? And that's what the Chachamim insist, that if it's a kosher animal, then you could say, lo sochal ha-nefesh im ha-basar. Don't eat the live limb together with the basar, but the basar itself would have been mutter if not for the fact that there's a nefesh here. If you would have shechted the animal properly and taken the nefesh, then the basar would be mutter. So the entire Isur of Eivrim and Achai is a result of the fact that there was no shechita over here. And this principle, if you could write it down, is going to be very, very, very critical. That the Rabbanan say that the if you could call it the oser meaning the what factor generates the Isur of Eivrim and Achai is the absence of Shechita. In that sense, Eivrim and Achai is very similar to another Isur. What's another Isur that results from the absence of Shechita? Can anybody help me out over here? Nevela, correct. The fundamental difference between Eivrim and Achai and Nevela is that whereas Eivrim and Achai applies because the limb was removed during the life of the animal, the Nevela Isur applies because the animal died. So in a certain sense, paradoxically, they're polar opposites. But yet, according to Chachamim, there's a very great, what we call in Hebrew, machaneh mishutaf, a great common denominator, in that in both cases, whether it's Eivrim and Achai and Nevela, the source and the root of the Isur, if you ask me what's the osa that generates these, so the answer is the absence of shechita. The difference is that in the case of Eivrim and Achai, the absence of shechita means that the animal is still alive. In the case of Nevela, the absence of shechita means that the animal is dead. But in both cases, it's the absence of shechita that engenders the isur. And the Rabbanan analyzed, well, if it's the absence of shechita, then that would only make sense if you talk about if you're talking about an animal whose basar would lend itself to shechita, meaning that the shechita would be halachically valid and meaningful. In the case of a non-kosher animal, shechita is absolutely meaningless. So it doesn't make sense to say, like, if you have a pig, well, the absence of shechita is going to engender an Iser Eivir Menachai. Again, if we would have understood, and this is probably the view of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yehuda, that the Oser of Eivir Menachai is the life of the animal, it's the nefesh of the animal, then what difference does it make whether it lends itself to shechita or it doesn't lend itself to shechita? That's an irrelevant issue. I mean, the fact is the animal's alive. If the animal's alive, don't hack me, well, shechita would have been meaningless because it's a non-kosher animal. Well, who mentioned shechita? To use to sort of coin a phrase over here, shechita man dekar shmei. Who mentioned shechita here? The Torah says, al tochlu lo tochal nefesh ma'basar. You're eating the nefesh from a bossa. So you tell them, well, shechita, yeah, it wouldn't be shechita if it's a kosher animal, it would be shechita. If it's a non-kosher animal, it wouldn't be shechita. That's totally irrelevant. It's Eivir Menachai. And therefore, the Iser Eivir Menachai applies to a non-kosher animal as just as well as it does to a kosher animal. Comes along the Tanakaz, the Rabbanon, and they say no. The Oser of Eivir Menachai is not the life of the animal, but rather the absence of Shechita. If there's no Shechita, and I'm talking about a Chal Hashem Shechita, you know, it's a halakhically valid and recognized act of Shechita, which has some meaning and some significance to it. In the absence of Shechita, the limb of the animal is Oser B'Toras Eivir Menachai. Just one second. But if the animal is non-kosher, this is the logic of the Rabbanah, then you can't tell me that there's an Isra Eivir Menachai. Because what do you mean the absence of Shechita? Shechita is meaningless with regard to what? A non-kosher animal. And therefore, a non-kosher animal is not categorized or not related to Eivir Menachai. If the Isra Eivir Menachai is because you didn't shech the animal, if all the emphasis here is on shechita, that's how he understands the word nefesh. Nefesh means the absence of shechita. Then the limb that comes from this basar that wasn't subject to shechita is prohibited. Had the limb been subject to shechita, or had the species of the animal been subject to shechita, then you could talk about Eivir Menachai because you didn't shech the animal. But if the animal belongs to a species which doesn't lend itself to shechita, then there's no Iser Eivir Menachai. The subject of today's shiur is what would the Rabbanan say about Ben Noach? The unique nature of Eivir Menachai, and it's the only one of its kind, is that it's Machalas Asuros. It's a forbidden food that is universally forbidden, Bein LeYisrael, Bein LeBen Noach. And here the question is, does this distinction that the Rabbanan are insisting upon between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal with regard to the Iser Eivir Menachai, does that make any sense? Is it relevant to a Ben Noach? Is it possible, therefore, that even though Eivir Menachai LeYisrael does not apply to a non-kosher animal, that was a double negative, meaning it only applies to a kosher animal, but in the case of the of Ben Noach, the Rabbanan are going to have to admit that the definition of Eivir Menachai is that of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar have the upper hand in the case of Ben Noach. Namely, the issue is the limb taken from a live animal or from a dead animal? Life or death, not shechita, will determine the Iser of Eivir Menachai. The Oser is the life of the animal, pure nefesh. Because what's your alternative? You, the Rabbanan, want to suggest a different definition of the Oser of Eivir Menachai, namely the absence of shechita. Well, the absence of shechita, that makes sense if you're talking about the Jewish nation, they have shechita. But the non-Jewish people have no shechita. So maybe the whole concept of defining Eivir Menachai is the absence of shechita, which leads you, the Chachamim, to differentiate between a kosher species and a non-kosher species. That whole logic makes no sense with regard to a Ben Noach. That is just, all I did was review what we did last time, but I think it's a little clearer than, when did we get together last time?
1 week ago.
Oh, it was a week ago, yeah, because because Thursday I was, yeah, I was away. I mean, I could blame it on Lag BaOmer, but the truth is, even if it hadn't been Lag BaOmer, I wouldn't have been here anyway, because I joined a new club. 13 years ago, I joined a new club, and now I joined another club.
It's a good club.
Yeah, it's a great club to join. I remember my wife had a little problem with it, because they were trying to figure out, are they going to, you know, now that we have a grandchild, what are they going to call him? Grandma, going to call her Savta. So she had these images, you know, of what's a grandma and what's a Savta. So she decided on Nona, which is Italian for grandma. Nona. So my wife is known to our grandchildren.
Is she Italian?
She's not Italian, as far as I know.
She is now.
Yeah, I wish she was Italian, but she's not Italian.
She wanted her own image.
No. I said, call me Zayda. I like Zayda. I was very proud to be called Zayda. Now I'm a Zayda with a grandson who's already bar mitzvah, and we're thinking what's going to be 10 years down the line. You know, we're already mitzvah planning. So that's where I was on Thursday. We had a beautiful simcha. It was in Carmiel. That's where my son lives, my daughter-in-law, my son. And it's a community. Wow, it's really. The only chisaron with that community is that it's too far away. Other than that, I love it. So that's why I missed last Thursday.
Rebbe, can I ask you a couple of clarifying questions? Because I wasn't here somehow.
You weren't here last Thursday.
So my question is...
last Tuesday.
Yes. I think it was at the dentist or something. Anyway, in any case, number one is, how can they say that if there's no shechita for a yid, we're talking about a kosher animal,
right.
A kosher animal, and it was not a good shechita, that you're over on Eved Menachai, but it's nevela.
No, we have to have the possibility that there could be shechita.
Eved
Menachai is the flip side of shechita, meaning nevela means, as we discussed before, the animal died without shechita. Eved Menachai means that you had an obligation in order to be matir this pasar to do shechita, to implement the shechita, and you failed to do so.
Okay.
So the two sides of the same coin. That was the whole introduction.
Oh, so you're not just talking about shechita that missed, and then you say that's
right. That's something else. There. That would be a nisa nevela. But we're talking about a limb from a live animal where you didn't shecht it at all. If you shechted it, then we'll see. If the shechita was valid, then it removes two isur. Okay. It removes the isur Eved Menachai and the isur Nevela. If, on the other hand, you did an invalid shechita, then you have you've successfully removed Eved Menachai, but you haven't removed the isur Nevela. The isur Nevela, in a certain sense, replaces the isur Eved Menachai.
I see. And the other thing is that if, according to the Rabbanan, then if they say that it applies also to a non-kosher animal and to...
Not the Rabbanan. I just want to get the name straight. No, because otherwise we'll get so confused. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar, the Isur Eved Menachai applies even to a non-kosher animal. What we're analyzing today is, would the Chachamim agree in the case of a Ben Noach
that
the Isur Eved Menachai would apply to a non-kosher animal?
So if it applied to a Ben Noach, then... It essentially would say Ben Noach is usher to eat meat at all together, because he doesn't have a din of shechita. He doesn't have a din of shechita, he can never eat it.
Well, that was true until Noach. You know, there are two Bnei Noachs. There's the pre-Bnei Noachs and the post-Bnei Noachs. So in the pre-Noach, pre-Mabel world, everyone was prohibited from eating.
Yeah, but I'm talking about
In the post-Noach period of time, Noach and his children are allowed to eat meat, but only from a dead animal, not from a live animal. So if a Ben Noach plucks a limb off a live animal and eats it, violates Eved Menachai.
But what if he doesn't do it from a live animal? He does it from a dead animal, according to the Chachamim, who say that anything that is not mishkat it would be Eved Menachai.
Right, that's as far as the species is concerned.
Right.
So we want to know this limitation rule of the Chachamim, that the species has to lend itself to shechita, but a non-kosher animal that doesn't lend itself to shechita is not included in the Isur Eved Menachai. What about a Ben Noach? That's what we're up to today.
Okay, fine.
Amar Av Gidol Amar Ra.
Where?
We are Kuf Beis of an Aleph, and you'd have to count up about 15 lines. about. I don't know, I didn't count it. And David, I will keep in mind that this past Sunday we didn't learn together. Michael was ready to learn, but I wasn't ready because I didn't realize there was a little bit of a lack of communication. But in any event, Amarav Gido Amarav Machlokes B'Yisrael. The issue of Eirim and Achai in a non-kosher animal is limited to Yisrael. Aval b'ben Noach divrei akol, there's no issue. Muzar al tmeim kitahorim, there's no difference, says Rav Gidol Amarav, even according to the Chachamim, in the context of ben Noach, between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal.
What does Muzar mean?
Mushar means he's warned against it. I hate to use that term. It's a very bad translation. Mushar means that there's something called an azhara. I mean, an azhara, which literally translates as a warning, but has a halachic significance and meaning that goes way beyond the English translation. An azhara means that in order to get a punishment, the Torah itself has to formulate an isur. In the case of Eirim and Achai, the Torah formulated an Isur, and the question is whether that Isur was formulated even to include a Behemoth Tmeah. And this is going to be a case in which there's one Parsha, and that Parsha could be interpreted in two ways, and they're both correct at the same time. I don't know if you remember, we spoke about as far as the mitzvah of Birchas Kohen, of Maseiros Kapayim. On the one end it says, Ko, and that means with the shame I'm a forosh, and that applies in the Beis Hamikdash. On the other hand, the mitzvah of the Seis Kapayim outside the Beis Hamikdash applies in the same parasha without the shame I'm a forosh. But that's what we had a discussion here Monday, was it? When did we get Monday, together? Yeah. Monday. Yeah, that's not that long ago.
Yesterday.
seems like a whole, because I. Once you lose your voice, you lose your sense of time. I don't know the connection between the two, but anyway. But here also, we have one parasha of Eirim and Achai, but it bifurcates, it really splits in two directions. If the Isur Eirim and Achai is a warning, is an azhara for the to set up a punishment in a Yisrael case, then we're talking about limiting it to a behemah, to a horror, according to the Chachamim. If that same pasuk, that same avera is coming to set up the mechanism for a punishment for a ben Noach, then that same parasha is not limited to a behemah Torah, includes also behemah Tmeah. Now look, truth is that there's a certain intuitive logic here to what Rav Gidol Amarav is saying, because really when it comes down to it, what's the difference between a behemah Torah and a behemah Tmeah to a ben Noach? My goal for today's shiur, if you could remind me, because I might forget, is to try to prove, which is counterintuitive, that even for a god, even for a ben noach, there's a difference between a kosher animal and non-kosher animal.
We can tell from sort of noach, because he took seven of the behemoths to Harus and only two of them.
Right, so that was because of karbonos,
yes,
meaning.
Okay. So they do
right.
Recognize.
But I want to know, as far as eating the flesh of an animal, is there any difference for a ben noach between a kosher animal and a non kosher animal? If the ben noach is asking that a carbon be brought, well, then he's bound by the laws that regulate our, based on Migdash, our karbon. Yeah. Our Reach Nichach Lashem, and we can't use that, you can't use the Behemoth Tmeah. But in terms of Kashrus laws, if I can convince you and myself, because I'm still skeptical about this conclusion, but I think the question is whether I'm learning right Pshat, that there is a difference in terms of eating a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal, even for Ben Noach. I mean, that really is going out on a limb. Yeah. Pardon the pun. Pardon the pun. That wasn't meant to deliberately.
That's very good.
But
if it's so.
Forget about intuition for a moment. Yeah, what's the difference between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal for a ben noach? I think it goes way, way beyond this. It means, I think, that the shechita element, which we said engenders the Iser of Eivor Min Achai, according to the Rabbanon, that's true for Yisrael who has Shechita. But what the Gemara wants to point out here of Gidol Amarav's Chiddush is that for Ben Noach, who doesn't have Shechita, Shechita is absolutely meaningless for Ben Noach. Then there's no way that you could define the Iser of Avraham Achai in the framework in terms of Shechita. We said that Avraham Achai is the absence of Shechita. And therefore we came to the conclusion that for a non-kosher animal where Shechita is meaningless, there's no way, no habit that could be an Iser of Avraham Achai. The absence of Shechita in this live limb is totally meaningless. You know, tell him, oh, you're a bad boy, you didn't shech the animal. That makes sense, a kosher animal, but not a non-kosher animal. Says the Gemara, Rav Gidol Amarav, let's talk to this Ben Noach. We'll call him John Paul. And we talk to him and we say to him, oh, you want to eat the limb of this animal before Shechita, you're a bad boy, you didn't shech the animal. I never heard of Shechita. Who ever heard of Shechita? I mean, the only time the guy heard of Shechita is with the anti-Semitic anti-Shechita laws. That's all they know about Shechita. It's another way of attacking the Jews. But they don't have Shechita. Is Mebela, willy-nilly, we have no choice but to redefine the Iser Avraham Achai. We cannot assume our definition, the Chachom's definition that underlies the Iser Avraham Achai of Yisrael and superimpose it, you know, copy and paste it onto a Ben Noach. No way. Avraham Achai has to be redefined.
For a Ben Noach.
For a Ben Noach. The original definition cannot apply to a Ben Noach. Because you can't tell me that there was an absence of Shechita in the case where Shechita is meaningless. You admitted to me that in a non-kosher animal the absence of Shechita is completely meaningless, and therefore there is no Iser Avraham Achai vis-a-vis a non-kosher animal. You have to go a step further, and now you have to flip it around the other way. You know, you use your Svara Lekula to exclude a non-kosher animal where Shechita is impossible from the Iser Avraham Achai, and you would make it, that means if a person plucks a limb off a swine, pardon the expression, and he eats it, then he will violate one, incur one set of malchus, according to Chachom, not two sets of malchus. And that's because you can't tell me, well, I could have shechted the swine. Shechting the swine is meaningless. Now, when I want to interpret and define this parasha, this Iser of Avraham Achai for Ben Noach, if I'm talking to John Paul, then again, the same logic. It's meaningless to talk about the absence of Shechita. To the same extent that it's meaningless to talk about shechting a swine, it's meaningless to tell John Paul, you should have shechted the animal, you didn't. And therefore, Avraham Achai is not the flip side of Shechita, i.e. the absence of Shechita, but rather the flip side of what? What do we have to plug in now for Ben Noach?
Death,
exactly. It's the flip side of death. As long as the animal is alive, the limb of the animal is Avraham Achai.
This is Rabbi Yehuda.
According to Ben Noach. Again, has nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, you mean to say it's similar to Rabbi Yehuda? Okay, good.
So
excellent. You're a step ahead of me, I'm sorry.
For Ben Noach,
you know, you're,
that's why it says for Ben Noach, they would all agree. That's why it says it.
Correct. That in a Ben Noach case, the issue is going to be, did the animal die, or is the animal alive? And forget about the difference between a species that lends itself to Shechita, a kosher animal, and a species that doesn't lend itself to Shechita. Shechita is meaningless, period. Even with regard to what? In the case of Ben Noach, a kosher animal. So your distinction between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal makes sense for Yisrael, because within Yisrael's frame of reference you can talk about the absence of Shechita. But within the frame of reference of a Ben Noach, you know, it's ridiculous, it's ludicrous to talk about the absence of Shechita, because Shechita for Ben Noach is totally meaningless. And therefore to say that, what is Avraham Achai? I'm talking to John Paul. It's the absence of Shechita. What is the absence of Shechita? What's Shechita? I don't even know. I don't recognize Shechita. It doesn't exist.
I forgot.
The conclusion of Rav Gidol Amarav is Lechumra in this case. Again, it's the same logic, but now we flip it around Lechumra. Now a Ben Noach is going to be enjoined from Avraham Achai, even in the case of a Behemoth Tveya.
But,
and not the way we said it before,
only for death.
What I call the intuitive interpretation, that who, you know, why should a Ben Noach give a hoot about whether the animal is kosher or not? Check it, Simonim, does it have a fresh sparsa or a maligary? It's irrelevant. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying something much more profound. What we're doing is We're redefining Avraham and Achai. Do you hear the difference? Our intuitive understanding of Rav Gidol Amarav was, you know what? You want to tell me that in the case of Yisrael, Avraham and Achai only applies to kosher animals. You want to tell me in a non-kosher animal, anyway, it's treif anyway, so why do you need Avraham and Achai? You know, Enis or Kalisa, whatever you want to say to me. But in the case of Enoch, what are you telling him? You're telling him, oh, Avraham and Achai only applies to the kosher animal? It doesn't make any sense. But that doesn't redefine the nature of Avraham and Achai. What we're saying now, I think, goes much down to the root. Oh, I shouldn't mention that word. You just came from the dentist.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, we don't talk about root. Roots. When I think about root canal, I get the heebie-jeebies.
But it's not really cool.
What we're saying is, no, I'm saying it comes out the chumra, you know, that the Benoach is going to be prosecuted for eating a limb of a swine if the swine is alive when he plucked off the limb. That I call a chumra. He's going to be prosecuted for that. And according to one opinion, he's going to get Misa for that. Because as a Rosam Zui Misasim, that's a Sugyan Sanhedrin involved, not for us today.
Which is not true.
Oh, when it comes to Israel, we can say to him, look, the absence of shchita is meaningless with regard to a Beima Tmeya, and therefore if you eat a Beima Tmeya, you can violate the Issa Beima Tmeya, but you're not in violation of Avraham and Achai. But with regard to Menoach, if he eats the Avraham and Achai of a non-kosher man, he's not in violation of what? Beima Tmeya. Yeah. But he is in violation of Avraham and Achai. So when we set up the, you know, the yid against the guy with regard to Avraham and Achai of a swine, it's been a kotzer la kotzer. They're both prohibited and joined from eating the Avraham and Achai in this case, but in Israel's case, it's not because of Avraham and Achai, it's because of what? Beima Tmeya. On the other hand, when we talk to Ben Noach, he's enjoined from eating this limb from a swine, but not because of Beima Tmeya, but because of Avraham and Achai. Why? Because the limb was removed before the animal died.
Right, but that's both a kula and a chumra. It's a kula because most animals are dead when they take it off, as opposed to if you defined it as absence of shechita, even if it were dead, he would be over. So that part of it is a kula, but the other part of it is a chumra.
Again, which part is the kula? Say one more time. I don't want to get distracted because
it's on your definition, because if you're going to use absence of shechita as a defining term for whether something is an Avraham and Achai, then the fact that he can eat it if it's not, that he's allowed to eat it without shechita because there is no such din of shechita, is a kula, is not a chumra, because he can eat the very piece of meat. It's only a matter of whether he ate it when it was actually alive, but whether it was dead, whether because of a lack of shechita or because it fell over dead.
Sorry, again, what's the case? What would be the case of a kula? Give me the kula, scenario.
Okay, the case of a kula is when a goy eats an aver from a behema that was dead, but it was not nishkat. When it's not nishkat, so according to the one that makes the definition of whether it's Avraham and Achai or not, it's related to shkita.
Wait, it's a kosher animal or not a kosher animal?
It actually doesn't make any difference, but even if you say a kosher animal, but that doesn't matter. Right. But the fact is, it's a kula. It's a kula is because if you once you define something.
Well, wait a minute. Oh, you're talking about nevela then. No? What you're saying is if the animal died without shkita,
he died.
Then for Israel, it's also because it's nevela. For a guy, it's muta because it's no longer Avraham and Achai.
Right, but on the other hand. But
okay,
yeah,
fine.
Okay. So that part of it makes it
very cool. That's not in any way, I don't think. Tell me if you think I'm wrong. I don't think that's relevant to Rav Yehuda Amarav, Rav Gidol Amarav. Rav Gidol Amarav is not discussing the veil. You know, you want to tell me that you could be makil in a goy if the animal died because there's no issa the veil and he's thrown the shechita. That's true regardless of Rav Gidol Amarav. The chiddush of Rav Gidol Amarav is that the Ben Noach paradoxically picks up a chumra. A chumra.
On that side, he picks up a chumra.
He picks up a chumra in Hilchas Avraham and Achai. That's the chiddush of Rav Gidol Amarav.
Right.
Do you follow what I mean?
Right, no, I agree.
Because we never dreamt of Avraham and Achai in a non-kosher animal because we knew that shechita is irrelevant to a non-kosher animal. Whereas Rav Gidol Amarav is pointing out that all of a sudden, hey, wake up out of your dream, there's going to be Avraham and Achai, in the case of Menor, there's going to be Avraham and Achai in a non-kosher animal. where, how, in a case where there's no shechita. You know what I mean?
But no, where the animal's alive.
Oh, okay, the animal's alive. Correct, the animal's alive. That's right. That's what I'm suggesting,
right.
That why is Rav Gidol Bar Rav forced, he's compelled to redefine Eivor Min HaChai. It's no longer yesh chita or no shechita. It's no longer the live animal that's not geshachtin, but rather it's the live animal that's alive, and he's forced into that position because shechita is irrelevant to a ben noach.
Right.
And if that be the case, if you're talking about death and life, then it doesn't matter what animal you have. The only reason why the Chachamim differentiated between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal is because of the element of shechita.
Right.
But in a menach, when there's no element of shechita, there's no relevance of shechita, then we go back to our original definition, as you pointed out, David, so well, that Eivor Min HaChai means the animal is still alive.
Right.
I understand the menach. Are you saying now that if a Jew eats from does Eivor Min HaChai from behemoth to male? Oh, sorry, if a Jew eats a limb from a live animal, which is a behemoth, tameah, he's not over Eivor Min HaChai?
Correct. That's what we're saying. I mean, that was not Rav Gidol Bar Rav. That was the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim say that only when there's a possibility of shechita, then is Eivor Min HaChai.
He's not saying that.
No, that's the Chacham. Right. That's pre-Rav Gidol. Rav Gidol Rav wants to address the issue of how does the logic of the Chacham, where the Shechita plays such a role, a key role, and therefore they were makil with regard to the Iser Eivor Min HaChai in the Behemoth Tameah. Yeah. Again, you'll still violate the Iser Behemoth Tameah, but the Iser Eivor Min HaChai, how does that impact L'chumra on a Ben Noach? That's the issue of Rav Gidol Bar Rav.
Right.
Okay.
It's a very limited question.
Just 1 second. Give me 1 second, because the next point is the main point that I want to make in the Shia, but it's a little bit complicated. No, it's complicated for me. It won't be complicated for you, because I'll make it easy for you. But for me, it's complicated. Okay, just 1 second.
I'll try to make it hard.
Okay. Now, I want you to write this down. What happens in the following scenario? Okay? What if there was shechita, but the animal's still alive? Okay? In other words, listen carefully. Again, first in the theoretical, and then we'll bring it down to a practical case. What happens if I can pinpoint a second in time? Again, I'm just using this, you know, these words, l'saber ta'oz, and I'll make it easy for you. It was very hard for me, but I worked it out. I'm going to try to spoon feed it to you. If I can pinpoint a moment of time which is post shechita but pre misa, in that moment of time between shechita and the death of the animal, okay, make believe that in some dream world it exists. Okay, for the time being, then I'll prove it to you that it does exist. What would be the deal according to Rav Gidol Bar Rav?
And he pulled off a limb, you mean?
And he pulled off a limb from this animal in that split second. He was Evshel Etzamtzem.
It's over.
Who's he?
They know.
Okay, well, so start with a Jew. We always like to start with a Jew. Would a Jew violate the Iser Eivor Min HaChai?
No.
Why not?
Because he's Nishka.
Because Eivor Min HaChai is the opposite of what? Of Shechita. And yet it was Shechita.
Right.
But for a guy, we redefine Eivor Min HaChai. It's not at all reflective of Shechita.
Right.
It's all contingent on is the animal alive or it's dead. If you were able to machavi the shah between Shechita and the death of the animal, then it's still Eivor Min HaChai. My nafkamina. Anybody know what I'm about to mention? This is called Mifarcheses.
Yeah, that's...
What's Mifarcheses? So literally, again, you know, there's always the English translation, but it loses somewhat in its translation. Mifarcheses, which is called Pirkus, if you want to write it, it's Pei Yud Kuf.
Kuf.
Pei Yud Reish, Pir. Kuf, with a longer Kuf. Vav Samet, that's called Pirkus, which translates literally as jerking.
Right.
Right, so if you ever shecht an animal, you'll see that the animal jumps around for a few minutes before it collapses. So the animal is considered alive, even though it was already what?
Nishka.
Shecht. It was nishka. In this case, according to Rav Gidol ben Rav, the Ben Noach who plucked a limb off the animal before it ceased pirkus, before the pirkus process terminated, he, if he eats it, would be in violation of Eiver ben Achai. Because the definition of Eiver ben Achai for Ben Noach is the absence of Misa. And here, we have the absence of Misa. The animal is still considered alive.
Pirkus is not considered dead?
No. It's not dead.
It's moving, but it's not.
It's not dead. It's moving and it's not dead. But it's already geshachta. That shechita, paradoxically, will be matir the limb that's taken out of the animal after shechita, but only for whom? For Yisrael. Right. That shechita could not be matir for a ben no.
Can I ask you a further
question? Wait, 1 second. I'm not ready for questions. Sorry.
Okay.
My mind moves very slowly, Alan. You are much faster than I am. I've said it to you a million times, and I never doubted it. It was always true, and it remains true.
It's a very cute thing I'm going to ask you.
Okay. Just 1 second.
Okay.
Now, we have a problem. The thesis that I just presented to you is 100% correct. But we have a problem. It's a technical problem, so to speak. The Zeitiger problem comes in from the outside. The Kedusha of a Ben Noach, and again, I'm not being politically correct here, but I'm telling you the Emes L'Amito, the Kedusha of a Ben Noach is inferior to the Kedusha of a Yisrael. Just like the Kedusha of a Yisrael is inferior to the Kedusha of a Kohen, and the Kedusha of a Kohen is inferior to the Kedusha of a Kohen Gadol, and I can go on and on and on, talking about Nazir and this, that, and the other thing, the Kedusha of Ben Noach is inferior to the Kedusha of Yisrael. How do I measure Kedusha? How do I know that Ben Noach has an inferior Kedusha to Yisrael? I'm not talking about an Eved Kenani now. An Eved Kenani has a Kedusha that's somewhere in between.
Correct.
We got 613, they got 7. Okay. The Gemara says, and B'li Neder, if I'll show it to you inside, but right now you'll accept it on faith, that it's impossible to postulate a Kedusha Chamura, I'll explain, in the case of Ben Noach vis-a-vis Yisrael. There's no way that a Ben Noach could have a Kedusha Chamura vis-a-vis Yisrael.
Right.
Which means, in practical terms, anything that's also to Yisrael, I'm sorry,
the other way,
anything that's also to Ben Noach must be also to Yisrael. Now here's my case. He shechted the animal. The animal is mefarkis, which means that within the definition of Eiver ben Achai, as it applies to a Ben Noach, it's still alive. And therefore, the limb that was plucked from this animal is also.
Right.
For Yisrael, it's mut.
Right.
Cannot be. Anything that's also to Ben Noach, ipso facto, becomes also to Yisrael, because there's no way that a Ben Noach can have a Kedusha Chamura vis-a-vis a Yisrael. So what it means, I don't know. Don't ask me any questions yet. There's a lot here to talk about. I mean, right now, we're just trying to scratch the surface. So it means that on a theoretical level, everything I told you is correct. And the nafkamina between our two definitions of Eiver ben Achai, namely that for Ben Noach as opposed to that for Yisrael, is correct. And that should lead us to a practical nafkamina in the case of Pirkus. But practically speaking, it just might not work.
And if you can go one way or the other, actually, can't you? You can either say that it's mutter for the non-Jew, or you can say it's hostile for the Jew. You can go either way.
But in other words, you could say...
You've either got to say that the non-Jew can eat it, or you've got to say
right.
that the Jew can't.
Okay, that's a good point. Maybe I'll come back to that point later. So I just want, let me just see if I can just say one thing over here. Oh, okay. Now back to you, Michael. Good. So what do we do? What do we do? We have a scenario where logically, according to the rules of halacha, the ben noach should be asur and the Yisrael should be mut. So Michael is right. I'm just going to embellish it in my own way.
How is that possible?
Just one second. In order to equate the Kedushas Yisrael with the Kedushas Ben Noach vis-a-vis, in this case, the Iser of Avraham and Chai, we're going to have to say the following. That if a Yisrael is allowed to eat this animal, or this limb, I should say, right? That would be more exact, more precise. Then a Ben Noach is also allowed to eat this limb. And that would equate the Kedushas Yisrael with the Kedushas Ben Noach.
It's not possible. Oh.
What does that mean? What does that mean in terms of Avraham and Achai? We just finished saying that Avraham and Achai means, according to for Ben Noach, that the animal's alive. And now you're telling me that the animal is alive, he plucked a limb, and yet the Ben Noach is allowed to eat this limb. And why is he allowed to eat this limb? Because the Israel is allowed to eat this limb, right? That's what you're telling me. What does that mean? I'll tell you what I think it means. It means that we're going to have to redefine Avraham and Achai for Ben Noach and accept, even for Ben Noach, the definition of Avraham and Achai of Yisrael, Shechita. Why? Because if we postulate a new definition for Avraham and Achai for Ben Noach, and that substitute definition is going to replace the old definition for Yisrael, is going to lead to a situation of Kedusha Chamura for Ben Noach, which we cannot accept. We're going to have to therefore say, sorry buddy, we've got to go with the original definition. That even a Ben Noach is going to be subject, or I don't know what word to use, to the same halacha and the same definition of Avraham and Achai, which will permit the eating of the limb that was removed post Shechita for Ben Noach because of this rule of Kedusha Chamura. But, and here's the big but, and it took me about an hour to figure this out, but if the principle of Kedusha Chamura would be irrelevant, then Eino Chinami, we would have the substitute, the brand new definition of Avraham and Achai. Okay? Let me just... Do you have the structure?
Well, up to that last bit, yes.
Okay? What we're saying is that logically, the analysis of Rav Gidol Merav generates a brand new definition for Ben Noach of Avraham and Achai. That's on the theoretical conceptual level. Practically, technical foul. It can't go through. Why can't it go through? For another reason. Namely, Kedusha Chamura. Again, I'm using secret terms that hopefully we all understand by short abridged language. But if Lu Yitzui, if I can find the case in which there is no problem of Kedusha Chamur, then Eino Chinami, we're going to go back to the original definition of Rav Gidol Amar Rav, namely that the Iser Avraham and Achai for Ben Noach is the absence of death and has nothing to do with Shechita. In what case can we come up with a structure where we're not bothered, we can tiptoe and circumvent the issue of Kedusha Chamura and resurrect from the dead, pardon the pun again, the original definition of Rav Gidol Amar Rav for Ben Noach, the unique definition that replaces the definition for Yisrael, then it all depends on life and death.
Non-kosher?
Excellent. David, you're brilliant. a non-kosher animal. Why? A non-kosher animal is asur to Yisrael, and therefore there's no way that the Yisrael could ever eat the flesh of a non-kosher animal. When does the problem of Kedusha Chamura emerge? That's only with a kosher animal, where the Shechita was done, and the Torah says that Shechita is a matir. Shechita is a matir, there's no Yisrael v'rachai, there's no Yisrael v'vela, Zay gesund, eat the meat, the animal's jumping on its feet, I couldn't care less. Ah, that's the case of a kosher animal. Now you're going to tell me that the Jew is going to sit down at a meal and eat that limb, correct? Mm-hmm. A guy cannot eat that limb because the animal's still alive when you plucked it.
Right.
That's Kedusha Chamura. Now let's shift our focus, as David said so well, to a non-kosher animal. There's no way that you could point to this table with that piece of meat of the non-kosher animal and say, wait a minute, why is a Jew eating that meat? A guy is not allowed to eat that meat. The Jew is allowed to eat that meat. I'm sorry.
He's not allowed to eat that meat.
The Jew is not allowed to eat that meat under the law of what? David's man. The guy is not allowed to eat that meat, you're telling me? Under the law of Avraham and Achai, right? He can eat an non-kosher meat. So in that sense, we're both equal. There's no problem, there's no clash with the rule of Kedusha Chamura. Ah, if that be the case, we go back to square one. Here, in the case of Avraham Tmea, we have the Chiddush of Rav Gidol of Arav. What happens if I take this Avraham Tmea and I shecht it? But it's still, the animal is still jumping around. The guy, or whoever, plucks a limb from the animal's body, and now he wants to sit down and eat it. The Yisrael can't eat it because it's Beim Tmeim. The guy can't eat it because it's Eivim and Achai.
Correct.
So watch what happens. This is brilliant. If it was a kosher animal, and now it was shechted, the guy is allowed to eat the limb from a pirkus animal. Why? Because the shechita was matir for the guy as well. Berzon, are you out of your nuts? Are you crazy? Shechita was matir the animal for a guy? Go see a psychiatrist. Okay, tomorrow actually I have an appointment with a psychiatrist. Because I learn once a week with Dean Harris. But how could you say such a thing? The answer is I'm going to say it. And you know why I'm going to say it? Because Kedusha Chamura. It's impossible that Shechita could be matir this bosser for Yisrael, and at the same time it wouldn't be matir it for a guy. So we're going to have to tell the guy, you know what? Because you and the Jew are sitting down to eat this limb that was plucked off from a kosher animal after Shechita before it dropped dead, before the wall was mufarkes, we're going to say to the guy, when the Jew passes over this limb to you and he says to you, you know, it's a nice turkey, you know, if you've ever been to Orlando, you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been to Disney World? Everybody walks around with this big limb, you know. The only people who are not eating that gigantic turkey leg are the Jews, that's all. Because there's no kosher shechita in Orlando. I mean, there is in Orlando, but not in the park. It's not. Okay, fine. So, I'm gonna pass this over to the guy, and I'm gonna say to him, take a bite. So the guy says to me, wait a minute, how can I take a bite that's even a chai? After all, you plucked it off when the animal was still alive. Yeah, but I'm going to say that, but there was shechita. My favorite zatmah chosid shechted the animal, right? So why can't you eat it? So we're going to say to him, you know what? You can eat it because I can eat it.
I can't believe it.
Wait a minute. You can eat it because I can eat it. Because otherwise we violate and upset the principle of what? Of Kedusha Chamura.
I'm sorry.
Now, watch this. Same exact scenario, except with a non-kosher animal. Does the Yisrael pass over this, you know, piece of ham over to the guy and say, well, you can eat it because I can eat it?
No, he can't eat it.
He can't eat it. If the Yisrael can't eat it, then there's no Kedusha Chamura. But watch this. The guy can't eat it, even though the guy loves ham. I mean, he eats ham, he's like the Spaniards, you know, the ham is just all over the place, right? He loves ham. Ah, But this was a limb that was plucked from the animal before it stopped Pirkus, and is no problem of what? Of Kedusha Chamura, because the Jew is not saying, well, I can eat it, why can't you eat it? The Jew can't eat it either. So in this case, what we're going to say is that the guy is enjoying from eating a non-kosher animal. What do you mean? I love ham. Why can't I eat ham? Says John Paul. The answer is because it's Eivor Menachai. What do you mean Eivor Menachai? Didn't you just tell me that in Pirkus there is no Eivor Menachai? That's only the kosher animal. And I come back now to my original contention. I don't know if you heard it or if you wrote it down, but I guess you to remind me. Is there any difference between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal for a gut? Now, again, Michael said there's a difference as far as korbanos is concerned. That you're right. But in Hilchos Machlos Asuros, you know, if I'm writing a Yerodea for Goyim, is there any difference between a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal? Of course not. What's the difference? Could Shechita be meaningful? Of course not. What's Shechita for God? But the answer is Shechita could be meaningful. Where could Shechita be meaningful in a case of a kosher animal? Because it removes Eivor Menachai. Ah, you'll tell me, but for the guy, Shechita is meaningless. The answer is a guy can't have a Kedusha Chamura. It's therefore the Torah is going to have to recognize the significance and the status of Shechita, even for the guy in a kosher animal, by virtue of the principle of what? Kedusha Chamura.
I disagree.
But now I... Okay, of course you disagree. Okay? But in the case of what? Of a non-kosher animal, here the Nebuch the guy cannot avail himself of any advantage of Shechita, because there's no Kedusha Chamura, because the Israel can't eat this either. If the Israel can't eat it, then the question is whether the guy can eat it or not eat it. So logically I would have said, well, it's ham, who cares? But the answer is no. It's still Eivor Menachai. No, if it's Eivor Menachai, then the Israel can't eat it. The Torah says Eivor Menachai. The answer is the Israel can't eat it because of Tuma, of Behema Tve. It's a non-kosher animal, but it's nothing to do with Eivor Menachai, because Chachamim's view is that there is no Eivor Menachai in a non-kosher animal. So all you're left with is an Issur Tuma, but it's a Behema Tve. But as far as the guy is concerned, you're left with an Issur of what? Of Eivor Menachai. But that would apply only in a non-kosher animal. But in a kosher animal, the guy is going to piggyback on the Satmar Shechita, and he's going to say, well, once that Shechita took place, I can remove the Yisr Eivor Menachai through Shechita. Ah, you'll tell me, what's Shechita for a guy? Shechita for a guy is meaningless, no? But the answer is, Shechita for a guy is meaningless, is meaningful in a kosher animal. Why? Because since the Shechita is Makir, the Achil is Basar for Yisrael, and the rule is that anything that's Mutter for Yisrael, ipso facto is Mutter for a guy, he's going to be able to eat it.
Why don't you just change it around?
It's the other way around.
The opposite. Why don't you
make machmir it on the youth?
Exactly. Well, why don't you just say, because of this problem, if the goy is not permitted to eat it, then just say, even though strictly the adin, the Jew is permitted to eat it, because of this, where you can't have one more chomor, so just say the Jew can't eat it either.
Exactly.
No, because that would undermine the whole law of Shechita. No, in other words, what is Shechita? Shechita, by definition...
Okay, but you've got another rule that conflicts...
Right, with no. The rule is, maybe I said it incorrectly before, if I did, I stand correct. The rule is that when something becomes mutter for a Jew, then since a kedusha for a guy cannot supersede that of the kedusha of a Jew, then it's got to be mutter for the guy as well. That's the rule. You can't, the Torah can't allow a Jew to eat something and then turn around and say, well, a guy can't eat it.
Yeah, but so you make it also for the Jew also.
No, yes, you
that's
can't.
The way that's, always
not, do. Not, that, that's not the rule. The rule is that if the Torah says it's mutter for a Jew, then ipso facto it's mutter for a guy.
But where do you see that?
Oh, so that's a sugya. Let's see if we see it. But what time is it? Do we have a little time for this?
I mean,
so let's go through the Gemara. Tanya Nami Hachi. How many minutes? Four minutes. Tanya Nami Hachi. Eivor Menachai Ben Noach Muzer Alav Al Hatmeim Kitahorim. Oh, what does Tanya Nami Hachi mean? This is very classic. When the Gemara has a radical chiddush of a Tana, of an Amora, the Gemara wants to show you that, you know what? There are Tanoim who also accepted that principle. V'Yisrael Einu Muzar Ela Ala Tohorim Bilvat. Doesn't mean that the Yisrael can eat Tmehim, obviously can't eat a Beva Tmeah, but he doesn't violate the Yisrael Veva Menachai. Ika Diamri. Now this Ika Diamri belongs to the sugi that we did last week of Rabbi Meir. Let's just mention Rabbi Meir, because until now we've been focusing our attention on the single issue of Avram and Achai that is the subject of a debate between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yehuda, the one in Chachom and the other. We didn't mention Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir has the most extreme shita in Avram and Achai Lekula, and he's of the opinion that Avram and Achai applies to a behema and only to a behema. Correct? That means that Chaya v'Of, we saw such a thing by Bas Bechol, if you remember, Chaya v'Of is not of the same status as Behema, and the whole sugya there, how do you derive that conclusion? And therefore there's only Avram and Achai in Behema. Ika d'Amri, I'll prove to you the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that the Girsa is not the way we had it a line ago, that it said Tahorim, in plural, but rather Tahora. It should be in the singular. For Rabbi Meir, and it can only be understood according to Rabbi Meir, according to the Chachamim, any animal, any species, is prohibited under the law of Avram and Achai if you pluck the limb while the animal's alive, and therefore it should say Tahorim. But according to Rabbi Meir wants to use the word Tahora to tell you that it only applies to Behema. Ika Diamri. Some have the girsa of Tahorim, v'rabbanon, and then it means Chachamim, and even Chayav Yof are included in the Iser of Avram Achai. Omer Rav Shesbi, Afana Dami Tmina. I also learned a Mishnah in Masechta Taris, and the Mishnah says, Achal Avram Achai Mimena. Now we're turning to, where are we turning to? We're not turning to anything. Omer Rav Shesbi, Afana Dami Tmina. Ochal Avram and Achai Mimena. Okay, so what's Mimena? Let's make a note of this. The word Mimena is a reference to a non-kosher bird. Eino Sofeg Arboy. So what happened here? He ate Avram and Achai from a non-kosher bird, and he doesn't get Malkus for it. What do you mean he doesn't get Malkus? You get Malkus for eating a non-kosher bird. That's a violation of a lav d'oraisa.
And it's not matama.
So what is the pshat eino sofik asad bun? So he quotes the Bar Tanura on that Mishnah Taras, and the Bar Tanura says the following. So you're going to have to make a note of this, because it's going to be a radical chiddush that we'll have to study. Believe that the next Thursday. Thursday's okay this week? Why not? Okay, good. So what does the Bar Tanura say? The Bar Tanura says the following. That in order to be chayav for an of tahor, an of tameh, you've got to eat a kezayis worth. Less than a kezayis does not incur a chiv malchus. Because we have a rule called ein achila pachas mi kezayis. However, if you eat an aver, a limb of an animal, and this limb was taken from the animal while it was alive, then you're chayav malchus, even if what? Even if it's less than a kezayis.
What does sofeg mean?
Sofeg is to receive, to absorb.
Suffer.
To suffer. So what the Mishnah in Taras wants to emphasize here is that a non-kosher bird does not have an Iser Avram and Achai. So how did the Mishnah find a way of conveying that and dramatizing that? By telling you that even though you should get Malkus for eating an Of Tomei, I have a case where you'd only get Malkus under the law of Avram and Achai. And you don't get Malkus under the law of Avram and Achai. Why? Because it's a non-kosher bird. All right, Rabosa, I guess we'll have to stop now because of Mincha.
It's very hard to see this.